So I have a question for you all this morning. How many of you used an alarm clock this week to wake you up? Just raise your hand. How many of you look around to use an alarm clock or alarm device? Oh, it's Esri, your alarm device. That's great. And raise your hand if you don't normally use an alarm clock. Who are you who just wake up? Hey. So in our household, one of us needs an alarm clock to wake up for work meetings. Granted, they work on Ontario time, so they have to wake up early. One of us just naturally wakes up very, very early, and I don't need an alarm clock. Although this past Monday, Malcolm was awake 2 hours before his alarm clock went off, aka 4 a.m., because he was so excited for his first triathlon that started very early in Stanley Park. And congratulations to Jake and to Mario and to Malcolm, who did their first triathlon. And Krista, maybe the best picture I could find was this one. That's Jake there running his finishing part of the run. So congratulations to them and to all the families who supported them doing this. Well, our text in Mark 1 wakes us up with these words from Jesus: the time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. It's a wake-up call for all of us. In our new fall sermon series, we'll be immersing ourselves in the book of Mark here. We'll be reading 7 chapters this fall, and then we'll return to read the rest of the book during the season of Lent. This is a long and a close look at Mark. We'll be reading each Sunday, generally one chapter, to get a long view perspective, to get the total context. And because Mark is only 16 chapters, I think we can do this manageably, although I have given us only half the chapter today, just to ease us into it. So we'll be reading large chunks of scripture together. And then we'll also focus in on a closer look on just a few verses or a small few for the sermon. A long and close look. A bonus for the month of September is that we'll be reminded each week of our Grandview values or our spiritual practices. This summer, we focused on the spiritual practice of creativity and rest. Today, as we embark on the Gospel of Mark, we're reminded of our spiritual practice of biblical reflection and prayer. So for most of us, this practice happens once a week on Sundays, our time of biblical reflection, our time of prayer. So we're aiming to read the book of Mark together this year. And as we take a closer look at the few verses each Sunday, perhaps a prayer will emerge as well. So the book of Mark appears to have been the first book written about the life of Jesus before the books of Matthew and Luke and John, even though it's the second book in the New Testament. Traditionally, scholars think that a guy named Mark wrote this, who would have been close to Peter, one of the disciples of Jesus, and maybe they were connected together in Rome. Mark took to writing down the stories of Jesus, the first one to write down the stories of Jesus that were passed down among all the disciples who had lived and breathed with Jesus for 3 years of ministry. Perhaps this was written approximately 35 years or maybe up to 70 years after Jesus' death that these stories got into writing. Mark writes with a sense of urgency. The life of Jesus begins with a bang, the alarm clock goes off, and Jesus is up and running. We go from event to event quickly. You will see this as we go along this fall. It's easy to read this book, and if you haven't noticed this already when you've read the book of Mark. It's 16 chapters long, as I said. The end chapters, 14 to 16, focus on the death and resurrection of Christ. But these other 13 chapters before that have a great story to tell. In fact, so many stories about the life of Christ, many stories about what Jesus did. Mark focuses on Jesus' action in life more so than what he said. Mark focuses on his mission, Christ's journey, his conflicts in life. This book of Mark is about the birth of a spiritual movement. A spiritual movement. The movement of Christ and the community who responds and participates with this new, in this new spiritual movement. So Mark writes in this first verse here, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginnings of Jesus Christ. It doesn't start here with a birth story, but it starts with John the Baptist, who prepares the way for Jesus, for people to follow Jesus. John baptizes Jesus, the Holy Spirit appears, and then immediately Jesus spends 40 days in the desert battling demons. When John was arrested, Jesus begins to speak out about the kingdom of God, and his first action is to gather a community of disciples. He calls two sets of brothers to join the spiritual movement, so we notice immediately that this spiritual movement is about community, it's about participation. So that's the long look, the first half of the chapter one. Now let's take a closer look at verse 14 and 15. I'm going to read that again for us. Verse 14 and 15. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, the time has fulfilled, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. So the first thing that we read here in these short verses is that John is arrested. So in that phrase, we understand, we begin to realize that this Jesus movement is not really safe and secure. Whatever this movement is about, it disturbs and challenges enough for conflict to occur in the public sphere, for political and religious power to wake up. Another thing to note is that Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee. That's a significant location starter for Mark. Jesus doesn't begin his movement in the largest, most powerful city of that day in Jerusalem. Jesus spent time in his beginnings among the rural poor, surrounded by non-Jewish cities on the periphery. In Galilee, this is where Jesus starts proclaiming the good news of God. The good news of God, Jesus says. It has this uplifting, positive start. Jesus is proclaiming good news. And I wonder, what would it take for us today to see the mission of Jesus as it was originally meant for? Good news. Good news of God. I know that Jake has mentioned this book in a sermon that he preached before called Blessed Are the Undone. It's a recently written Canadian book. The authors are Angela Ritzma Bick and Peter Schumann. It's a book of interviews and stories of Canadians in the last few decades who have lost their faith in the good news of Jesus. It's a book of deconstruction. The reasons that people have deconstructed the good news of Jesus are many. The book goes through many of these damaging themes, which include evangelical teaching on biblical literalism or anti-science, colonialism, purity culture, the effects of sexual abuse by clergy, the rejection of the LGBTQ community, and the rise of American evangelicalism. All popular teachings, especially of the evangelical churches, which ironically, evangelical comes from the Greek word good news or gospel. But these damaging teachings are, in fact, not the good news that Jesus Christ was on about. And heads up, there will be a book club coming around that book, Blessed Are the Undone, for those of you who want to gather and explore those topics of deconstruction as a community. More info to come in the weeks, in the next following weeks. But where we find ourselves today, 2,000 years plus after Christ spoke these beautiful words of hope and goodness, in contrast to being fresh and inspiring, are quite layered. We have layers of stuff to sort through. Personally, in our faith journeys, lots of layers of stuff to sort through with a big C church. We have layers to repair and to mend and to sift through, to be able to hear and receive these words from Jesus today about good news. Here, as we open up the book of Mark on this 7th of September, 2025, Jesus is encouraging us to be open to a fresh start. Jesus is saying the time is fulfilled. The time is ripe. The time is now here, where the old order of things must end. And the time of liberation, of restoration, and of holistic reconciliation is beginning. The kingdom of God is come near. Repent and believe in the good news. At the beginning of Mark 1, we don't have an explanation of what the good news is. This is only beginning. The good news unfolds in the rest of the book of Mark, and the good news is the story and is the movement of Jesus Christ. All that Jesus did on earth to show signs of this kingdom, of what it's like, the healing, the restoration, the reconciliation. This good news involves turning from the old ways of being that don't serve good purposes, this 180-degree turnaround, which is the word repent, which we do over and over in our lives. So I wonder for us today, what does that mean? Maybe it means for us noticing or stripping away those things in our lives that we don't need to believe anymore. Wrong theologies, wrong teachings that have harmed us. Or maybe it means asking for healing, deep, deep healing from the wrongs of the church, from church people, from church leadership in our past. Or maybe it means for us to do the repair work, the mending work of the wrongs of the past. What would it be like for Jesus to say to you uniquely, to us uniquely, given our past 2,000 plus years of history, how can I bring good news to you here? Can we go toward the person of Jesus Christ? Can we hear with fresh ears and see with fresh eyes what his life looked like and what he did, and ask for that grace to apply this goodness to our lives of faith? We have before us these words that Jesus spoke. The time is fulfilled. What time is it in your life? What is it time for in your life? The time is fulfilled. Meaning it's the beginning of something new and good. It doesn't mean that the kingdom of God has come in fullness now. We know that really well. It can't possibly be what Jesus meant. We live in this mixed up messiness of the old and new orders together. But today, if we approach this with the beginner's mind, Jesus is saying the time is fulfilled in your life. What time is it for you? What do you need to be awakened to? Jesus is longing to come near, to bring the kingdom of God near, to call you into being part of good news for the world. And we all have a part in this. As we read here today, Jesus first chose tradespeople, the fishermen, two sets of brothers. They weren't the intellectuals. They weren't the wealthy. They weren't the theologians, which I have to say is most of us here. But that's okay, we aren't disqualified. It may just be harder for us to receive good news. As we journey further into the book of Mark, we will see that the disciples are mixed in their understanding of the kingdom of God and what Jesus was on about. But Jesus didn't build the kingdom of God with monuments or cities. Jesus offered the kingdom of God to disciples. Jesus offered the kingdom of God to us flawed human beings who want to respond, who want to experience the presence of God as a new way of being and living. What is your response to Jesus coming near to us today at Grandview? What is your fresh response? I invite us to pray the scriptures this morning. We'll use this text as a prompt to pray, a prompt to draw near to God. Time is short for us in September, so what is a one-line prayer? A one-line prayer for you to use this week. You don't need to share this with anyone else, but you choose how you want to respond today. You choose what your prayer is. You can put that next slide up there, Krista. Thanks. I pray for the grace to believe in Jesus' goodness. I pray for the grace to live out. I pray for the grace to be healed in. The time is fulfilled. What is your one-line prayer for this week? How do you respond to Jesus today? I invite you to be open to your prayer as we sing this next song that comes, that Laura's going to lead us in. And I propose as you have your prayer, that you pray this prayer every day this week. Put it on your alarm clock device. Put it on your bedside lamp. As you wake up, you're reminded of this prayer that you're invited to pray into this week. What is your response to Jesus today? Pray with me a short prayer that Brother Roger of the Teze community wrote for us. Holy Spirit, you have a call for every one of us. So come, prepare our hearts to discover what it is that you expect of each of us. Come, Spirit, come. Amen.